as the body of Christ, to worship you, to honor you, and Lord, now to hear your word. Father, we pray that you would anoint Pastor Don and just use him this morning, Lord God, to speak into our hearts and to implant that word there, Lord God, a word of faith and truth and victory, Lord God, just to pour that out through him. Bless him even as he gives this word, and just bless this church, Lord God, as we hear it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father.
Amen. Amen. You know, years ago, when I lived in my other house over by Pastor John, we had a fireplace there. And, you know, this house was like the Brady Bunch. It had the 60s style to it, you know, the white brick. And it had this fireplace that was pretty nondescript. And my wife, and, you know, if you know her, she's always trying to fix things up. She's been working on me for about 40 years now. And still, it's a work in progress. But she decided she wanted to get this nice mantle she saw down from this antique store down in Detroit. And so she got this wooden mantle, this beautiful mantle, and it had about 15 coats of paint on it, spray paint, regular roller paint. And so she set out to make this mantle, to strip it right down to the very wood. So she was out in the garage working on it, and she bought all these little tools, you know, to get in all the little crevices and things like that. In fact, the mailman came by, and he used to restore old antique furniture. And so he came by and gave her some tips, and boy, she worked on that thing. Finally, she got it put up there, and it looked beautiful. It had like a black piece of granite down there, and, you know, the nice brass around it. It was a beautiful mantle with the insert and everything else. So it was Christmas time, and, you know, she had these long matches that were about a foot long. You know, maybe some of you have a fireplace at home, and you had those matches, you know what I'm speaking about, and, you know, and she didn't have anything to keep them in. There was a spittoon that I bought when I was on vacation. Wasted the whole vacation looking for a spittoon. Okay, but that's me, and, you know, I went from every store looking for this thing. And so she would keep those matches in this spittoon, but it just didn't look very good in front of this beautiful mantle that she had redone and the nice insert and all that. So one day I'm at Jacobson's, this right before Christmas, and I walk in to the one section, and I see this beautiful cylinder, brass container. And it was very ornate, and I said, man, that thing would look great. A great holder for her matches. And so I looked, and little did I know, till I went up there, that it was a toilet bowl cleaner. You know, the little brush was inside, and I'm thinking, who puts a toilet bowl brush in this fancy thing? But I guess, you know, if you got money, they'll buy anything, you know? So I thought, well, you know, it'll be a nice joke that I'll wrap this thing up real nice, and I'll present it to Laura, and she'll love it, you know, and I'll leave the toilet bowl cleaner in there just as a little joke, you know, a little. So Christmas Day came, and she opened it up, and she saw the container, and she's like, wow, that's nice. And then she took the lid off, and that's when the surprise, and that's when my good present just kind of dwindled. And she goes, you got me a toilet bowl cleaner? And I was like, well, honey, I didn't get you a toilet bowl cleaner. I actually got you the container. I left that in there as a little joke. Well, she didn't think it was too funny. Okay? And so on my behalf, I'm thinking, here's this great present that I got her. And it's kind of been rejected. Years later, which was funny, she said, you know, I wish I'd have kept that cylinder thing. I could put the matches in there. See, should have listened to her husband, right? But if you ever give a present to someone to have it rejected. I think we all have done that. You know, you go, and like I said in my little story there, that you see something and you think it's going to work out right, and for some reason it doesn't. Okay? Well, I want you to turn over to Acts chapter 22. And we're going to start there today. And we're going to see a group of people that were presented an incredible present, but it was rejected. And you could only imagine, if you've given something to someone, what that was like. Acts chapter 22, verse 21 through 23 says this. And then the Lord said to me, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles. And the crowd listened to Paul until he said this. And then they raised their voices and shouted, "Rid the earth of him. He's not fit to live." And as they were shouting and throwing off their cloaks and flinging dust into the air, we'll stop right there. Have you ever made a statement to somebody, and as soon as you made that statement, boom, that's the end of conversation? I see it all the time on Facebook, especially prior to this recent presidential election. People have put stuff on there who they support, and then all of a sudden, people that were lifelong friends, boom, they just shut them off, nothing to do. You know, a few years ago, we were having a home group at my house, and I invited a gentleman out who came to church previous Sunday, and him and his wife showed up, and we got into a discussion, and I said something that he didn't agree with. And he grabbed his wife, and out the door he went. Ken, you were there, weren't you, that day? Or you remember that? And, I mean, I don't care what I was going to say to him from that point on. He had shut his ears and didn't want to hear anything else. Well, in our passage here today, we see the Apostle Paul is back in Jerusalem. He had completed his third missionary trip, and now he knows he's on his way to Rome. And while he's in Jerusalem, he causes a riot. How many of you know everywhere the Apostle Paul went, there was a riot? You know, he'd say something and somebody would take offense to it, or somebody would stir something up and there would be a riot and he'd either end up in jail or beaten or stoned or something. Anyways, he makes his way back and he's given the opportunity to finally address his brothers that lived in Jerusalem. And what I mean by brothers is his fellow Jews. He was a Hebrew, he was a Jew, he was a Pharisee. They knew him well. If you know the story of the Apostle Paul, you know that he persecuted the church, that he went after men and women, threw them in jail, and had his conversion experience on the road to Damascus. Well, here Paul, there's a riot that ensues, and they're getting ready to tear him limb from limb. And a Roman tribune comes down, he grabs him, his men protect him, and they're taking him away, and they're going to question him as to what's going to happen. And the Apostle Paul stops him, and he says, you know, can I address the crowd? And you know, you could imagine this crowd, they were out for blood. Kind of remind me of a Detroit Lions fans, you know, when they blow a close one, man. They want the coach's head, they want the general manager, they want somebody's head on a platter, don't they? They just got their wish yesterday. I think they fired both the general manager and the head coach. But they wanted blood. And so the Apostle Paul, he gets everybody's attention, and he begins to speak to them in Hebrew. And as soon as he began to speak to them in their native language, they grew quiet. You know, one of the things I love is when I used to go on the mission trips, is I would go into these cultures where I didn't know the language. You know, we were down in Mexico and I didn't know the language, and I knew a few words and how to get around. And I would have to rely upon people. So if I was saying something, people were looking at me like, who is this guy? But as soon as somebody that spoke their language began to speak, there was a respect that came. Unless you had Donna's interpreter, you know, screwing up her words. I appreciate the effort, though, Donna. But those that don't know the story, we're having lunch, and these old ladies were sitting with us. And Donna was just learning Spanish, and they were impressed by her Spanish. And she was trying to tell them, my pastor here, he's funny. But instead of saying he's funny, she used the Spanish word, he's a gossip. And so these old ladies were looking at me like, huh? He's a pastor? The gossip, what's he doing? You know, but I appreciate the effort there, Don. It was good. And so we see here the Apostle Paul, he speaks to them and he gets their attention, and he's doing a great job. He's speaking, he's telling me he was a Hebrew, he's brought up in the city, he was born a Jew in Tarsus, which is modern in modern day Turkey, and he's got every air. There may have been thousands of people there, we don't know. But then he says something that just shut off the conversation. And that was, Jesus told me I'll be sent to the Gentiles. And as soon as he said that, what happened? Oh, they begin to throw dirt in the air, rid the earth of him, get rid of him. And you see, the Apostle Paul, I say all that is because he was trying to give them a very special gift, wasn't he? He's trying to give them knowledge of who Christ was or is, and what he had done, and what they were could be partakers of. But they rejected it, and they didn't want it. And we see that during this season. We just entered into the Advent season. And a lot of us, we don't appreciate maybe what Christ had done. And I know that they didn't appreciate it. And this is what the Apostle Paul was trying to show them. And as soon as he makes this comment, "I was sent to the Gentiles," to us, that doesn't sound like a big deal. But to somebody who was Jewish, all of a sudden those little antennas went up. And it should have sparked them going back to the Word. What does God say about going to the Gentiles, bringing the Gentiles in? Because in the Old Testament, there was numerous prophecies that when the Messiah came, he would not only redeem Israel, but he would call men and women from every nation under the heavens into a relationship with him. Now, I don't know about you, but that should have been exciting news. That should have been great news. That God has honored you. You were chosen people of God, but now he's going to extend your family. He's going to make it bigger. You know, when you have a child who gets married and has children and they come over to the house, that family has been extended. It's become bigger, hasn't it? And there's a joy just being able to sit back and watch them. I know last week I was sitting up in the fellowship hall. I went up there as Pastor John was sharing his message. I stopped in there for a few minutes. I was sitting in the back and I'm just looking at all the kids that were in this classroom. And I was just thinking, God, I said, God, you know, you've extended the family here. What a gift you have given us. Who are we to be able to oversee that like parents, like grandparents? But I appreciate it. I just looked around and all the different characters that were in there, you know, and all the different kids, to see them raised up, to graduate, maybe to play in the sports or cheerleading, whatever it might be, you know, you just begin thinking about that. And the Jews at this time had this incredible opportunity to receive a gift, but instead of receiving the gift, they shut their ears. And they wanted nothing to do with it. I want you to turn over to, we're going to look at a couple scriptures just to show you that the Jews were anticipating the arrival of the Messiah. And not just the arrival of the Messiah, but the arrival of the kingdom of God. And we may not understand that, how important, what an incredible gift that was. You know, Donna got up here today and shared Psalm 2. And it's known as a messianic psalm. And it talks about the reign of the Messiah over the entire world. And it was a call to the princes and to the kings and to all governors to bow their knee before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We actually sang a few of those songs today, didn't we? About the King. And it's a psalm that bow your knee and be blessed, and those that don't will be laughed at by God. They'll be mocked at by God. They'll come under His judgment. And so let's look at the reaction that these Jews should have had when they heard Paul say, "I'm going to be sent to the Gentiles." Because as soon as he said that, it should have sparked something from the Old Testament that should have made them rejoice and fall on their knees and raise their hands in gratitude. Let me just give you a couple scriptures. Let's go to Isaiah 55, verse 1. And we'll just look at a couple of these real quick. If you would like, I would encourage you to read the book of Isaiah. It's a long book, obviously. But the last 10, 15 chapters, really incredible, because it speaks about the coming of the Messiah, the creation of a new heaven, a new earth, a new people, a new covenant. And so this was something that the Jews looked forward to. All right, go through here. Isaiah 55, verse 1. See if you remember where this is spoken of. "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you will have, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost." That was an invitation to the Gentiles as well as to the Jews to come to God, to receive the blessings that He has. How do I know that that was spoken for Gentiles too? Well, the same passage is spoken of in Revelation 22. Flip over there. Revelation 22. And maybe we just read this, verse 17. It says, "The Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him who hears say, Come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life." What was that drawn from? That was drawn from Isaiah. And it was an invitation to the Gentiles to come and to partake in the fellowship, in the relationship that the Jews had with the one God. The door was now wide open. The Jews, their ministry was to be a light unto the entire world. And there was going to come a point, they knew according to their scriptures, there would come a point where the Gentiles themselves would be brought into that relationship. And prior to that, there were many. But when Paul speaks that day and he says, you know, I'm being sent to the Gentiles, they should have rejoiced because it was a fulfillment of that verse there in Isaiah chapter 55. Let's look at one more, Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. And like I said, I would encourage you to read through these chapters because everything in it is about the blessing of this new covenant. How many of you know that we are partakers of that new covenant? Amen? When we come together, we have an incredible inheritance that has been given to us. But so many of us, we don't realize the beauty of the gift that has been given to us. Amen? Chapter 60, verse 1 through 3. And we sing one of these songs, got these words in it, "Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and His glory appears over you." Who is He calling there? Darkness covers the earth. Thick darkness covers the people. Who's he speaking to? He's speaking about the Gentiles as well as many Jews. When we get to the New Testament and we see this whole, a lot of the readings that we do during the Advent season, we see that there's a prophecy given to the land of Naphtali. It says that darkness has covered the people, but a light has dawned. And so this incredible light, this incredible invitation that the Apostle Paul was wanting to send before them, but they rejected it. You know, the current Jewish leadership at that time, they weren't too willing to give up their position and their influence. And had they had done that, you could only imagine what may have happened. But you have to understand, none of us like to give up our influence, do we, or our position? And if you at work want to, you know, maybe you've been working at a job 20 years and somebody comes on the job, only been there a few weeks, and they said, "We want to put them in your position. You want to send you back to..." No, we would take offense to that, wouldn't we? We'd say, "Hey, wait a minute. You know, I've been here. I've been serving you." But the Jews here, the Jewish leadership, we know the story that they were threatened. Their position was threatened. Their whole temple system, the whole religious system was threatened by this man, Jesus Christ. But prior to Paul speaking to these Jews, there was an incredible anticipation as to the arrival of the Messiah. You see, when we celebrate the Advent season, I know in a lot of churches they'll have a daily devotional. I know when I was a young kid, I was raised in a Catholic school, and every day we would start the day, we'd get out of class, and we'd go down to the main office area, and kids were standing on the stairs, the balcony, and the hallways, and they had the you know, the little wreath there. They had the Advent wreath with the candles. And they'd bring in the altar boys, and somebody would do a reading from the Scriptures, and somebody would light a candle. And each week they would light another candle. Finally, on Christmas, the last candle would be written. But I remember that, and it just created a sense of anticipation for the whole Christmas day. You know, you didn't realize it as a kid. Maybe you thought, okay, this is boring. But it was something that stuck in my memory, doing it day after day after day after day. And it was a kind of a neat little habit to get into. I think a lot of us, if maybe we get into the Scripture like that every day, you know, what were they anticipating? But there was an anticipation. You know, in Matthew 2:2, what do we read? We read about these wise men coming from the east. And so we've seen his star in the east, and we have followed it, and we've come to find out where the King of the Jews is going to be born. They knew that by the stars. And if you remember the story, what happened? They went to Herod, and they asked Herod, "Where is he going to be born?" And Herod didn't know, so what did he do? He called together all the scholars, and they opened the Scripture, and they said, "In Bethlehem." And then they gave the biblical reference. And so, boop, the wise men took off. They went looking for Jesus. They eventually found him. They were warned in a dream not to go back. But there was this anticipation. And these men weren't from, they weren't from Israel. We don't even know that they may not have any Jewish blood in them. In fact, a lot of scholars think that they were not just wise men, but they were known as the kingmakers. And that wherever they went, their job was to go and to anoint a man who was going to be king over a certain land. And they were probably from the empire of Persia. And they would go around and they would anoint. And so the Jews understood the role of these men. And so when they came in town looking for where is the king who is going to be born of the Jews, they understood what these men's mission were, what their job was. It was to anoint a king. Well, Herod didn't like that, did he? So Herod, he finds out, but yet instead of rejoicing, boom, he's going to now execute all these young children. Well, there was an anticipation, not just with these wise men, but with the general population whatsoever. Let me ask you this question. Was there something in your life that you really anticipated and you couldn't wait for it to arrive? You ever have a gift like that? You just knew, hey, this is, or in an event? I'll tell you what, I can't wait for tomorrow to arrive. My hot water tank went over the weekend. So I was like, oh God, I need a hot water tank. You know? I had my son run out to the sporting goods store and buy one of these little things for camping showers, you know, and then I'm laying it by the fireplace so it'll get warm, and Laura's got the things on the stove, and we're, you know, just trying to get some warm water in the house. I didn't have the guts of my daughter, Lizzie. She went upstairs. She took a cold shower. Yeah, got to give her props there. But not me. I wanted that hot water tank, you know. Didn't appreciate it. I'm like, oh, I can't wait for that guy to get here tomorrow. Because I want that tank, I want it fixed, or if it's got to be replaced. Spent all day yesterday cleaning out that room so they can get in there and do their work. It's amazing the stuff you accumulate over a couple of years. Amen? And that was kind of a storage room. But, you know, there's things in our life that we should be anticipating. And the Jews themselves, we're anticipating the arrival of the Messiah. And as we celebrate this Advent season, isn't that what they were looking forward to? Is that what we anticipate? We know that he's arrived, but there was a time prior to that. So we read the story about Mary and Elizabeth and, you know, Elizabeth's husband and all those different things. So where do we get this idea? Why would I say there was an anticipation in the general populace that they knew something special was about to happen? We'll turn over to Daniel chapter 2, verse 29. And we're going to read a little bit, and I'm going to show you. See, they knew the scriptures. And the scriptures were so important in their life. Verse 29 through 45, we're going to read a little bit. And if you remember, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and it's being interpreted. And Daniel is telling him what this dream means. And it says, "And after you, another kingdom will arise inferior to yours." He was the king of the Babylonian Empire. There were four kingdoms that were going to arise: the Babylonians, the Medes and the Persians, the Greeks, and then finally the Romans. And Daniel is explaining this to King Nebuchadnezzar. "And will rule over the entire earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, it will crush and break all the others, just as you saw that the feet and toes were partly baked of clay and partly of iron. So this will be a divided kingdom." He's speaking about the Roman Empire, okay? "Yet it will have some of the strength of it in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. And as the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay." Here's this, underline this. "In the time of those kings," the Romans, "the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left for another group of people." Here we have King Nebuchadnezzar receiving this dream. And Daniel actually had to tell him what the dream was because he kind of forgot. But he tells them, this is going to be the world history. There's going to be four kingdoms. But in the days of that fourth kingdom, the days of the Roman, the God of heaven is going to set up a kingdom that will what? Never be destroyed. It will never perish. Let me ask you this. Was that kingdom set up? Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And so the Jews, they understood that. What time were the Jews of Paul and Jesus' time? Who were they living under? Whose authority? The Romans. So they knew sometime under this kingdom, the Messiah, the kingdom is going to be established. So they knew from this one scripture. Let's find another one here. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. And they knew the book of Daniel might be one of the most quoted books in the New Testament. Verse 13 and 14. Verse 13. In my vision at night I looked, and this is Daniel now having a dream. And there before me was one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven, and he approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority and glory and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men from every language worship him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. I, Daniel, was troubled in spirit with the visions that passed through my mind. They disturbed me, and I approached one of those standing there and asked him the true meaning of all this. And so he is giving the explanation of it. But you see what is happening here. He's given a vision. And who does he see in this vision? He sees Jesus himself approaching the Father, approaching the throne of glory, and been given what? Glory and power and dominion and authority. And he sees this. And this is the messianic kingdom being brought forth. And I like what it says here. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. What? All peoples. Not just the Hebrews, not just the Jews, but what? All peoples. So when Paul said, I've been sent to the Gentiles, instead of them receiving the gift and rejoicing, they stopped their ears and began to rip their clothes, and they rejected what had been prophesied in their own scriptures. One more scripture, Daniel chapter 9. Verse 20 through 25. And while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill, and while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. And he instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. And as soon as you begin to pray, an answer was given, which I come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the message and understand the vision. 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy One. No one understands this. And then he goes on, and he gives them a timeline. And further on, we're told that when the prophecy was given to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, from that point, there was going to be 490 years until the coming of the Messiah. Well, guess what? The Jews, they knew math. In the days of Jesus, that time was coming, and there was anticipation as they were looking. They knew that that time period was almost up. And so as we read through the New Testament, we read about a lot of false messiahs arising on the scene, don't we? And they're questioning and you know, and people believe that he was just another prophet or another man, but he was truly the Messiah who had come. And so we know at the birth of Jesus, when he was taken to the temple to be circumcised, that Simeon came and he prophesied over the baby Jesus. But Simeon had been promised something, that he would not face death until he saw the salvation of Israel. In other words, until he saw the Messiah come, until he saw the initiation of the kingdom that was going to bring in men and women from all over the earth. And we know the stories. He prayed over him. And he said, Lord, now your servant can depart in peace, for my eyes have seen the salvation. Amen. And so this incredible anticipation, incredible excitement. That's why when the wise men came into Jerusalem, the whole city was astir because they knew something very important was happening. You know who else believed it? Herod believed it. Herod believed it. If he didn't believe it, he would have sent those men out to execute all those babies. And so we see that this incredible gift that God, this anticipation was now about to be fulfilled. We see John the Baptist come on the scene. Do you remember what his message was? Repent and be baptized for what? The kingdom of God is what? It's at hand. It's near. It didn't mean thousands of years in the future. It meant it was there. It was breaking forth into time and into history. Jesus came on the scene. You know what his message was? Repent and be baptized, for the kingdom of God is what? It's near. It's at hand. It's appearing right now. And so it was the same message. We get to the book of Acts, and we've been going through on Wednesday night, and what do we see? Message after message about the arrival of the kingdom. And this is what Paul was trying to get through to these people as they had gathered there and now were demanding him to be executed. But they rejected the gift. And I hope that we are cultivating a gift expectation, anticipation. Advent should be a season of anticipation. We look back at to what was promised had been fulfilled. They were looking forward as to what was being fulfilled in their midst and was going to be fulfilled in the near future. And what was this kingdom all about? Well, as I said, if you read through Isaiah 50 through 66, you're going to see all the different promises. He said, I'll make a new covenant with you. A covenant that will supersede the old covenant. You see, we don't understand covenant a lot, do we? You know, the marriage covenant, maybe we understand that a little bit. But God makes a promise to His people, and He's not going to void it. And what was the promise? I'm going to make an everlasting covenant. I'm going to bring in, we just read here in Daniel, I'm going to bring in eternal what? Righteousness. Have you been made righteous, by the way? Was it something you did? It was something He did. Did He have a final answer to sin? Yes, He did. You see, every one of these things that are mentioned here in the book of Daniel, Christ Himself, what fulfilled? Was the Most Holy One anointed? Oh, He certainly was. We read earlier when He came into the presence of the Father, He was anointed. He was given all power and authority and glory. He was anointed. He was recognized. As Donna read Psalm 2 there, you know, why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand. And the rulers gathered together against who? The Lord and against His anointed one. And I like what it says, kiss the Son, lest He become angry and you perish in your way. For His wrath can flare. Why? Because He sits in heaven, orchestrating and overseeing every event in the universe. Incredible. And He has called each one of us. Some of us have known Him for many, many years. Some of us had known Him for a short while. But whatever it is, you've been brought into His family. And incredible, incredible things that He has given you. I'm going to just read real quick. When this everlasting, when the Messiah came and His kingdom was brought, which these Jews that were there with Paul rejected, they rejected an eternal peace. And you know, I'm sure everybody gets that Christmas card says, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, what? Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. When the kingdom came, there was a spiritual power that came with it. How many of you know that every authority on earth is backed by power? Amen? You know, our government is backed by military, every nation in the world. Jesus told those who said He was casting out demons by the hand of the devil, He says, but if I'm casting out demons by the power of God, then what? The kingdom of God has arrived among you. And the Jews should have been the most excited of any group of people. Acts 1:8 says, and you will receive what? Power. when the Holy Spirit comes upon. We've been endued with spiritual power because of this new covenant, because of this work that Christ had initiated and finished. We're told in Daniel that it was an end sin, atonement for wickedness, established eternal, everlasting righteousness, to seal up all prophecy and to anoint the Holy One. We're told that this new covenant gives us eternal life. John 3:36 says, anyone who believes in God's Son has what? Eternal life. If you're a believer here today and you believe in Christ, you've received Him as your Lord and Savior, guess what? You have eternal life. You know, if there's any gift, take away all the other stuff that has come with it. You go home today, you look around your house, you look around the things that you have. Every good and perfect gift has been given you by what? Our Father from above, through His Son, Jesus Christ. We have incredible blessings, but the most wonderful thing, we have eternal life. In other words, relationship with Christ. We've been given the right to be called sons or children of God. To all, John 1:12 says, to all who believed Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God. How could those Jews throw up dirt and stop their ears? They were part of the covenant people. And to see more come into the family, they were rejecting that. Do we reject that? Do we want to see other people come in? I don't know about you, but I want to see this place filled. I want to see every church filled. I want to see this nation once again serving God with incredible zeal and passion. He's given us hope. He's given us fellowship with God and with the Father and Son. It says in Ephesians 2:7, immeasurable riches of His grace. It says this, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. I want to finish by reading from Ephesians chapter 2, 11 through 22. If I could have the prayer team come up, I want you to listen to what was rejected that day. That anticipation that they were looking, it was there. It was present. All they had to do was reach out and to receive it. But they rejected it. And the Apostle Paul, as we know the rest of the story, was sent to the Gentiles. Thank God for us. Even though I got 1% Jewish blood in me, you know, I could have been 1%. I'm one of the 1%ers, Pastor John. Or 2%ers, whatever they call those, you know, people with billions of dollars. I'm one of the 1%. But what an opportunity that was wasted. What a gift that was rejected. Ephesians 2, 11 through 22. Pay close attention. Paul writing to the Ephesians. He says this, therefore remember. Isn't that a good... When he tells you to remember something, maybe it's we need to remember it. Say, let's get that brain working. That at one time you Gentiles in the flesh... called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at one time, I want you to remember this, you were separated from God. You were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants and promises, having no hope and without God in the world. Is that was each one of us? But I like what he says here. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near by the hand of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of the commandments expressed in ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of the two. In other words, there was Jews and Gentiles. And in Christ, He broke down that wall. There's no longer that barrier. Those are in Christ Jesus belong to Him. No matter what nationality, no matter what economic strata you come from, no matter what color your skin, in Christ we have been brought into His family. That He might create in Himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And He came and He preached peace to you who were far off, that was us, who didn't know Christ at one time, and peace to those who were near, those were the Jews. For through Him, we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens. Amen. No longer strangers, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by his Spirit. Amen. What an incredible gift that has been given to us. As we read down that list, those were the things that were rejected by the audience that Paul had that day. That great anticipation that they had many years earlier looking for the Messiah had now waned and had now been corrupted and now had been put on the back shelf. But there were those that God were calling to himself and saying, I'm going to the Gentiles. They will listen. Aren't you glad that Paul was obedient to his vision? Aren't you glad that that anticipation has now come to us? And so as we celebrate this Christmas season, as we go through the Advent season, let us be mindful of where everything pointed to them in their lives. We look back and we can rejoice and we can thank God for every one of those steps. Amen. But let us look back also to the day that he called us and called us to in his family and set his seal upon us, called us his children, called us his friends, called us to be part of his family. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, I pray right now that you just move upon your people during this Advent season. Lord, that as we prepare our hearts and minds for the Christmas day, this all the celebrating that will go on, Father, I pray that your hand will touch us, give us greater understanding of what your son paid, the cost he went through. Lord, I pray that we would understand the promises that have been given to us, that we would rejoice in that, we'd be thankful for that. And Lord, as we go forth here today, Lord, give us that opportunity, give us that, let that spirit of anticipation well up within us to look and see what you're going to do, not only in our lives, but the lives of the men and women around us that you bring in contact with us. Lord, we thank you. We continue to pray that your kingdom come, and that your will be done. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. We have prayer team up here. We do have coffee. Amen. God bless you. Comes crashing down. I have the authority. Jesus has given me. When I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. I have the authority. Jesus has given me. You are my champion. You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Undefeated. Every battle you won. I am who you say I am. Yes, I am. I woke up with a broken heart in my chest. I couldn't sleep, couldn't get no rest. Weighed down by the heaviness of life. And I try to shake it, flipping through my phone. But all it does is make me feel more alone. How could anything that feels so wrong be right? 7 billion voices separate us. But only one can show us who we are. We are made in the image of, made in the image of God. Beautiful shades of love. We are made in the image of,
that's where the light comes from, yeah. We all need the same medicine. We all need another second chance. There's no first in line at the foot of the cross.
Severing our chest, that's why we're singing it back to you. For every battle you won, for everything that you've done, and everything that you're gonna do. See too much to ever doubt it. Feel so good, I wanna shout it. Yeah, when I really think about it, all I wanna do, all I wanna do is
glorify your name. We came to glorify your name.
That's why we came, that's why we came.
my day at the Fifth Avenue. The wild.